EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
In the box.
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in.
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Oh, no tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
You're staying. This isn't a democracy anymore.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
They mostly come at night. Mostly.
And welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am the infamous one, your friendly neighborhood space pope, whatever you want to call me. Just don't call me late for dinner. That's right, it is MJ back with you here on another week. Oh, with a late podcast, and we do apologize for that. We had some technical issues earlier in the week. But as it stands right now, everything is on set. Got an interview with Kyle Hester a little bit later on in the show. We will definitely give you some details on what's going on with Preacher 6 and find out ways you can help make it happen. But right now, let's get to some music, shall we? It's EMZT Radio.
Came to me.
from 1428elm.com. Ash vs. Evil Dead. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Or does it? Ash Williams was married? Say it isn't so. Well, it happened on Ash vs. Evil Dead. Arrow in the Head treated people to exclusive still from stars of chainsaw-handed hero Ash Williams at his shotgun wedding. What? Wait, Ash was married? The answer is hell to the yes. Looking like Lemmy from Motorhead, Ash with guns like Jean-Claude Van Damme, oh my god, is grinning like a maniac while holding a scantily clad chick in Victoria's Secret lingerie. Of course, this would be his wedding photo. This picture definitely paints 1,000 words. Well, the bottle of whiskey pretty much tells the story. I wonder if pink fucks were involved. From what we can tell, the chapel looks like the happy Jesus, and who the hell is the gal? Everyone knows Ash has a daughter, Brandy Barr. Now it's time to meet her mom, Candy. Let that sink in. Candy Barr. Katrina Hobbs plays Candy Barr. Her character sounds like Williams could have picked her up at after hours at a gentleman's club. Another tidbit that we know about season 3 is that Brandy comes into Ash's world because her mother meets an unfortunate demise. We can only imagine how that occurs. Maybe the Deadites? As Ash's ex-squeeze, Katrina Hobbs hails from New Zealand and has appeared in Hercules, Xena, and Rake. For trivia fans, Sam Raimi directed and executive produced the American version of Rake, starring Greg Kinnear. So there's definitely that Michigan connection. After seeing The Slice of Heaven, fans will definitely be clamoring for Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 3 premiere on Stars on February 25th at 9 p.m. And you're listening to EMZT Radio.
Thank you. Hello, horror fans. My name's Douglas McCambridge, and along with my co-host Jamie Lorello, we run a podcast called Good Times, Great Movies, where we review movies from the craziest decade, the 1980s. In October, we do horror movies and horror movies alone, so we're reaching out to you, the listener slash horror fan, to recommend movies you want to hear us talk about. Tweet to us at GTGMcast. Find us on Facebook, listen to the podcast, Good Times, Great Movies. Let us know what horror movies from that decade you want us to talk about. If we choose yours, you win a prize. It'll be something awesome. Blu-rays. That's what I'm going to say. All right, hope to hear from you.
Future.
from an article from the-line-up.com. Famous wig maker said he provided a disguise for Jack the Ripper, but he never revealed the killer's identity. He was called the most famous wig maker ever known, but theatrical costume designer Willie Clarkson's greatest and most scandalous feat may have been disguising the man who is arguably the most famous serial killer of all time. Yes, we're talking about the infamous Jack the Ripper, and it may be thanks to Clarkson that he was never caught. Authorities were never able to discover the Phantom Killer's identity, and though theories abound, it seems like the mystery will never be solved. Clarkson was a famous figure. He designed costumes for Queen Victoria and the royal family, as well as for famous actors. Even as Clarkson rubbed elbows with royalty and members of high society, he also slummed it with criminals and blackmailers. It's rumored that Clarkson was involved with what were known as blackmailing gangs in London. Homosexuality was illegal in England. Gangs would prey on gay men in certain areas of London, extorting and blackmailing them for huge amounts of money. In fact, one area of London frequented by gay men became known as Clarkson's Cottage because of his dealings with the shady gangs. But Clarkson's foray into assisting criminals were rumored to have taken on a much more sinister turn. Clarkson admitted that he supplied disguises not only to murderer Dr. Holly Crippen, but also to none other than the Ripper himself, whose brutal killings terrorized London in the late 1800s. As we all know, the Ripper was never identified or captured, so Clarkson's claim is quite interesting. Authorities believe the Ripper prowled the streets of Whitechapel in disguise in order to evade detection, and Clarkson was the most recognizable costume maker of all London for many years. Clarkson may have been playing both sides, as he also made disguises for Scotland Yard detectives and medical students who hunted for Jack the Ripper. Detectives dressed as prostitutes and roamed in London's dark alleys and streets in an attempt to capture the elusive killer who preyed on streetwalkers. Clarkson claimed until he died in 1934 that he had disguised the madman. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
The show that puts the story back into history.
History is all about discovering the why. And I think that in that process, it's important to never take the story out of history.
Making history come alive, one episode at a time.
But this is a podcast on the American Revolution for this series and all about a free country, so do whatever the hell you want.
Visit themondayamerican.com to get more. Dive into the Monday American. Don't worry, we'll be gentle.
From 1428elm.com, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost announce new paranormal horror comedy series. It's safe to say one of the best duos in horror comedy, sci-fi comedy, or hell, just comedy, is Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Long before the horror comedy classic Shaun of the Dead, they had a little show called Spaced. Well, they're at it again. Earlier this year, Pegg and Frost announced the creation of their production company, Stolen Picture, and their first movie from said company, also a horror comedy, called Slaughterhouse Rules, which shows the danger of fracking and its potential to unleash subterranean demons. As that is now in post-production, according to Variety, the pair isn't done with horror comedy yet, creating a show called Truth Seekers. It seems Pegg and Frost are dipping their toes in the paranormal investigation craze. Truth Seekers will follow a small paranormal investigative company. The trio will hunt spooky scaries in a Monster of the Week setup in each half-hour-long episode. Pegg said to Variety, quote, "Each episode is going to be an adventure, a potential haunting or something. It'll start as a very parochial idea, a very small business venture for these people, but it will expand as the series goes on to something far more global. It's a language everybody understands, the mystery of the unknown. Shaun of the Dead was a very parochial story set in North London, and somehow it managed to get this global reach because everyone understands the language of zombie movies," end quote. With similar shows popping up like Ghost, the style is growing in popularity, but this show won't be one to just stroll past. The duo has carved their names in stone in horror comedy genre, so what comes from them is likely to be hilarious, maybe scary, and possibly even give you the feels if Shaun of the Dead is any indication. That'll be interesting to see, huh? Got any words to say, Boom Doom? Keep an eye out for Truth Seekers from Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Come and let your ears bleed.
Our bodies come and go, but this blood is forever.
Thank you. This is Beaumont Bob from Bungus Bobcat. You can listen to me live every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern at sfdradio.com, where I'm bringing you the best of the worst in cheap booze, talking bum wine, beers, 40s, malt liquor, and more. Always featuring the latest and greatest in the world of drinking and entertainment, along with some special guests. So come on down and take a ride with Bum Wine Bob. If you can't be there live, you can always listen in the archives at bumwinebob.com. So sit back, relax, grab a drink, and enjoy. Cheers.
Social or just afraid of what they might think when I'm on parade. In my favorite hoodie, I can hide from the world and make them all ask, are you a boy or a girl? That's right. They keep trying to tell you what to wear. You keep thinking that it's just not fair. Dress code in effect, white shirts, black tie, looks around your neck. It's just not right for you. You don't like being told what to do. Can't conform cause it's just not you. Gotta be yourself, you gotta be true. Gotta be just who you are. Be yourself and you will go far. Come on now, let's all be rock stars. In my favorite hoodie, I can hide from the world and make them all laugh. Am I a boy or a girl? My favorite hoodie makes me feel alright. I can hide from the light of day every night. In my favorite hoodie, I can hide from the world and make them all ask, am I a boy or a girl? In my favorite hoodie, I can hide from myself. Make believe that I'm somebody else. Come on now, children of the night. Dance with me now, it's alright. Do a pagan ritual dance. Don't come too soon. Be yourself, let yourself go. Come on down to the rock show. Don't let them get you under the spell. Fuck them all, they can go to hell.
From 1428elm.com, House of the Dead gets resurrected by Sega in a new arcade game. It's time to relive some memories of shooting up zombies at the arcade, as Sega is launching the first new House of the Dead arcade since 10 years ago. Are you ready to return to House of the Dead? If you're like me at all, you have plenty of fond House of the Dead memories. Back in the day when the arcades were more prevalent, you were always guaranteed to see one of these zombie shoot-em-up games. Let's just say if I had saved up all of the coins I spent on these HOTD arcades, I'd be able to fill a whole vault with them like Scrooge McDuck. It's been nearly a decade since Sega has made the last HOTD game, but courtesy of Nightmare on Film Street, we can report that they're back at it once again. House of the Dead Scarlet Dawn has been officially announced by the game company, and a preview gaming session will take place in Tokyo this month. There's no word on when to expect the game to arrive in other countries, but one would assume it wouldn't be too far off. Of course, arcades aren't as easy to find as they used to be. Still, certain establishments such as Dave and Buster's are keeping them alive. Given the popularity of House of the Dead, I'd say Scarlet Dawn will be turning up a lot of these places once Sega brings it outside of Japan. I'd be interested in seeing a new House of the Dead arcade game. That was fun. I did spend a lot of money on it because the graphics were really crazy good, and you get to shoot zombies and other things. Sometimes you end up hitting people you're supposed to save. That happens. But yeah, keep an eye out for House of the Dead Scarlet Dawn. And since I'm near Vegas, there's definitely a few arcades on the strip there. And you're listening to EMZT Radio.
Irreverent, obnoxious, and very hateful. If you like your horror movie reviews full of snark and humor, then you'll want to watch me, Andy, the Bohemian Celt, on From Zen to Zombies, exclusively on YouTube.
Do you like science fiction, action, and adventure?
Hours of constant cleaning-based sexual innuendo?
The sound of the whole table yelling at one guy for rolling poorly?
Inspirational anecdotes?
And have you ever fantasized about having your head being massaged by a psychic?
If so, follow the adventures of the crew of the Irritated Badger on the Chaotic Goodness podcast, coming every Monday on iTunes, Google Play, or anywhere else you find your podcasts.
Space adulting's hard.
All right, and we are here with Kyle Hester talking about Preacher 6 and a repeat offender now on the show. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on again. It is a pleasure as always.
Now, let's see, the last time you were here, we were doing what? Zombie with a Shotgun, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe it was Zombie with a Shotgun with Mr. Hilton Louise.
Yes, and I have the bumper sticker on the back of my car, so I want to thank you guys for that. That was pretty cool.
Do you really? That is yes. So cool.
Yes, the Zombies Are People Too bumper sticker is in the back of my car right beside my Sargon bumper sticker, which is totally awesome. I get rave reviews at work, too. There's quite a few. So
I love it. I love it. Well, you need to get the Preacher 6 Army bumper sticker.
Yeah, oh, that one's next. Don't worry.
That's awesome.
Start filling up the back of my car with everybody's projects.
Like the indie, you're gonna be like the indie film warrior, you know, like Mad exactly. Max car with all these indie film bumper stickers.
I would awesome. Be like the remember back when like Alex Jones first started and you saw those like InfoWars stickers that popped up everywhere. I want to be like that guy.
Yeah.
Just post them in random places. Just start buying like 1,000 of them.
Nice. Oh, that's what I need to do. Yeah, my goal is now to get arrested from polluting telephone, you know.
There you go.
With bumper stickers. I'm doing it.
This is what I miss about the 90s. Payphones were basically just free billboards. I mean,
no doubt.
For any of you under 35, payphones were those special things we used to use back in the day when we didn't have cell phones.
You know what? They will never notice if I go and I like start putting Preacher 6 Army bumper stickers on city buses. Just like walk behind a bus and slap one on. They'll never notice.
There you go. See, we're coming up with viral marketing campaigns right now as we speak. the Preacher 6 Indiegogo is up, running, ready to go. So tell everybody about your project, what you're planning on doing here, and because I love the fact this is seemingly a grindhouse movie and you got that Tarantino feel to it.
Absolutely, man. Well, Preacher 6, for those who do not know, it's an independent film that I've been working on for about a year and a half from an inception, and it's a grindhouse horror film. And say hello to my dog. it's a grindhouse horror film. It's like a Preacher 6 is a small town preacher who ends up going to the big city to fight evil in a literal sense. So if you'll see from the trailer, there's all kinds of demons and gunplay and swords and violence, and there will be blood, and there's going to be a lot of epicness to it all. So we went to Arkansas, and that was this summer, and shot the beginning of the script. So we shot like 10 pages in Arkansas. We had done some crowdfunding before, and we had raised a little bit of money. We're like, all right, we got to do something, you know, because it was just about crowdfunding, and we didn't have everything that we needed to do the film. So we're just like, well, let's just get something done. So that we went out and shot 10 pages because it just kind of worked out. Because in the beginning of the script, it's at a different location and a different time. And so it all worked out. So now here we are, and I'm getting this sucker done. And we are live on Indiegogo right now.
Oh, nice. Now, like you said, you've done some shooting. What is next? What needs to be done next here?
Right now, next is what we're doing right now, which is the the crowdfunding Indiegogo. We're taking private investors, and then we're going to be putting a bunch of stuff on. We have an Etsy account. So basically, we just got to need to raise the money to shoot the rest of the film. So that is job number one.
So what inspired this? What how'd this creep into your brain?
Actually, this was my wife wrote this. Yeah, and she's awesome. That's it. Name is Tracy Wright. And we had just come out of another project that I'd been involved in for like 5 years. And I was not the writer. wasn't my thing. I was coming on as an actor, and I was going to help to produce it. And for one reason or the other, the whole show just fell away. Like, got taken away from us because of the illusion of big money. And that's the thing that happens to people when big money comes. Is people kind of lose their minds. So that kind of happened. And just from the illusion of it, it wasn't even real. There's no actual check. It's just like talking about it, So then like egos happen and everyone, it's kind of crazy. And I've seen that happen on many occasions. So I would say to a forewarning to anyone going into business that you could potentially be dealing with like large money is just to hold on to your soul. And it's, just remember the reason you get into something and just keep that and keep the egos in check and everything will be fine. But anyway, so what happened was, so that goes away and I'm out after those 5 years of my wife, both of our lives, because we lived together. And so, so I'm out in the backyard. And I've had a couple of cocktails and I'm pissed off and I'm pacing and I'm kicking shit around and she's in the house and she's like pissed off. And I go back inside and she's walking around and I hear her going, "Preacher." Just like that. Like she's whispering "Preacher." And I'm like, "What is that?" It's just, I don't know, but it's really cool. So we started like talking about this idea and she's like talking about this preacher. And so she just like, "Tell me about this idea, this character." And we just kind of started spitballing back and forth. And I'm like, "This is what we're doing. That is what we're doing." And so from that idea, Preacher 6 was born. So,
wow.
And she wrote, and now we are as far as we are.
So was there, obviously with the Tarantino influence, I take it you are a fan of the Tarantino films.
Oh yeah, I love it. I love all that stuff. Yeah, it's like the wit and with the violence and the comedy, and it's like all of those things that play together, like Tarantino does, is like so we're gonna do that style of thing, and it just kind of like my wife is so smart, that she can like have dialogue that's funny and witty and that pulls stuff out of like left field that the characters be talking about, something that doesn't have anything to do with what's going on, but it's just like like the Tarantino the scene where they're in the car talking about the quarter pounder with cheese is a royale and like all that, and they're on the way to, it has nothing to do with what's actually happening, but it's funny.
Yeah, it keeps you interested. It really does keep you interested in the movie.
Yeah, so she's all about that. And there's this character called the Monk, and he's hilarious. He's going to be played by Lawrence Chow, and Lawrence Chow. If you ever seen the show Ghostly Encounters, okay, so yeah, he's the host of that show, and he's also an actor, and he's hilarious. So he's going to be the Monk, and part of his kind of quippiness is that he like loves movies. So like during whatever's going on in the film, which I won't reveal, but he'll like be throwing out lines from like random films,
Nice. Beautiful Easter eggs. Is that's what you're trying to tell us?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so there's all kinds of, really, actually, I think this is the most I've actually talked about characters or plot ever. Uh-huh. So you're getting some inside info here.
Oh my.
But Yeah, because most of the time I just go, yeah, it's Preacher 6. You know, it's about a preacher who fights demons. That's all you get.
Well, on that note, can you tell us anything about the cast? Maybe not quite the characters, but who's going to be in it?
Well, we definitely have, I'll say we have our wish list. I would say Naomi Grossman, we've been talking to her about playing the Blue Nun. And so that's also another cool, very cool character where she will be slicing up some demons on her own. And so if you go to the website, preacher6.com, we have a cast list up there. And so it's at this point, I'm going to say that we're going to hope that all those people are available for when we do the film. Mm-hmm. But so I have my fingers crossed on it. So I don't want to talk too much about the cast in case they're not able to do it.
Fall through.
So, but I can say that Lawrence Chow for sure. And Naomi Grossman, that, you know, she'll, cool. will like schedule around it, you know, to make sure that she gets that part. So, it's going to be epic.
So are you going to be doing any, open casting calls maybe for extras or anything like that? Maybe somebody, listening might be interested.
Yeah, I think we definitely will. We'll be having some smaller parts and doing some castings down the road when we get to shooting. So we would, you know, have it done through probably Actors Access. That's a website that you can go. So we'll put the castings up there.
Oh, cool. Where are you? You've obviously shot in Arkansas, but where else are you going to be shooting? Any particular locations?
Yeah, it's all going to be here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's lots of locations, you know, in the script, but it's all going to be shot here in LA.
Okay, so, and I'll take it. Some of them will be on actual location. Anything specific, or are we still working out those details?
Well, no, it's actually, we're going to be doing some, there's going to be some green screen stuff. So that's special effects for those who don't know. So it's green screen and then physical locations that we're going to have to go when we get closer to shooting, we're going to have to go get some locations nailed down. Cause that's always a challenge when you are lining up the shooting schedule.
Yeah. So what's the end goal here? Is this going to be a full length feature film that you're looking for wide release or what's
the deal? Well, I mean, as an independent producer, I can tell you that to get a theatrical release costs a lot of money. So you're talking just to get something in a small release, you know, on a few screens, you know, across the country, like $75,000 that you got to come out of pocket for, you know, to get rolled out. So we would probably, you know, have it in a couple theaters, like maybe, you know, here, Chicago, New York, you know, that kind of thing, to have that experience and to say that it, you know, was in theaters and whatnot. And if it gets picked up, you know, in theaters and that's a popular thing, maybe we can expand. So we'll see how that rolls out. But it'll definitely be streaming, you know, on all the platforms and the DVDs and all that good stuff.
Awesome. Now, you did say pre-order. I saw your video on the Indiegogo. You're talking about pre-ordering DVDs. So obviously, you'll have physical copies of the DVDs then, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. We will have DVDs for sure.
All right. That sometimes you gotta clarify that sometimes because some people have said that and that's become like a. The thing, well, we actually meant the digital download, but you know, we just say it because.
Oh no, no, that's not the same. That's not the same.
Some
you can't
people,
say I'm going to give you a DVD and then say here's the link because that's not the same. Because I'll tell you what, I like the DVDs.
I do too.
I like to physically have the thing so that I know that if my computer crashes, I'm not going to lose all this. All those DVDs or, you know, the films that I paid for $10 bucks each. And now it's like, it's gone because like my computer got a virus.
Exactly. I mean, I'm that way too. I have a Kindle, but I still love the physical book. And I'm the same way with DVDs. It's like, yeah, okay, sure, I got Netflix and Shudder and Screenbox and all that, but man, I've got, you know, my third collection of DVDs behind me. If I get bored one day and can't find it on anything, I'll pop it in my Xbox and watch it.
Pull one of those out. Yeah. It's right now The Chair is out on the DVD release. So that's awesome. You can get that on Amazon. And I've had a few people get a copy, send it to me, and I'll, sign an autograph and then send it back to them. And you can't do that with a digital. I'm all about the physical copies.
Oh, awesome. And speaking of The Chair, I think we did bring that up the last time you were here. That actually has the late Rowdy Roddy Piper in it. I think it was his last movie, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yeah, he was awesome. Yeah, he was a great guy, and he gave an amazing performance, and I'm just thrilled to have been able to share some screen time with him.
Absolutely. I've heard that a lot about Piper, even, you know, before he passed on, that he was always a cool dude to work with. So I thought I'd bring that up just to, you know, help with a little selling point. So if you people, you go over to Amazon right now, pick it up, definitely do that. I highly recommend it. What else you got in the fire right now? Or is this the ever consuming project going on right now?
Well, yeah, no, this is my life. I wake up Preacher Six and I go to sleep Preacher Six. So this is what's happening until the sucker gets done. And if you're on my Twitter feed, then I will apologize in advance for the saturation that you will see. but that's my life, so that becomes your life.
Hey, exactly. And it's like what everybody else says about the radio business. Same is true for Twitter. If you're passionate about it, then it's going to make other people passionate about it. So, you know, if you bombard our timelines with, you know, hey, go give money right now, Preacher Sex, eventually somebody's going to, you know, hey, this is a great idea. I'm going to dump a lot of money in this.
Yeah. You know, the last five times I was, he asked, but this time.
This time. Yeah. He really is serious.
Right. He's not letting that go. Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah. Oh God! I'll do it. If it shuts him up, I'll do it.
You know what? Yeah, all I gotta say is let the trailer speak for itself. You know,
absolutely.
Just go watch the trailer, and you'll see what this is kind of all about.
And there will be a link to the trailer in the show notes. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But I've seen the trailer, and believe me, if I had more money, I would have given a whole lot more money. So I was actually really impressed with that trailer. So if you haven't seen it yet, people, please click on the link in the show notes. You'll definitely be impressed by it.
I appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. Cause it looks like you guys have just absolutely, and I can tell you have given your heart and soul into this project. So I'm extremely anxious for this thing to get underway and be a huge success.
Right on, man. Well, you know, yep. we're in the world of indie, so it is going to get done one way or the other, you know. So
yeah.
So we're in the middle of it, you know. We're in the stream. I got my camping gear. I'm in the canoe, and there is no going back because the river's going that way.
Exactly. So there you go. Ride that rapid all the way. Ride that current. That's
that's right. That's right.
Oh, well, you got anything else you want to tell the people about, or just go give money and please give generously?
Well, that's all good. I think the most important thing about like all of this is just the supporting independent film in general, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like it really doesn't happen without the crowd support, without fan support. You know, I think that, you know, even you'll see, you know, these things that people launch, you know, not knowing what it actually takes, you know, to get something funded, you know, either an Indiegogo or a Kickstarter. And so there's a lot of great ideas that you see. And if it doesn't get off the ground, you know, because the people trying to raise money didn't realize that it was going to take their whole lifetime to be able to, you know, to get it done. And then it just kind of goes away. And those things never happen. So to in order to have, you know, the arts continue in this kind of way, it's when you are supporting someone's creative project to help bring it to life, it's like you're helping to bring something to life that otherwise would never see the light of day.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. Well, tell people where they can find you, support your work, and support Preacher Six.
Right on. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Kyle D. Hester, and Preacher Six is at Preacher Six, all one word, S-I-X, not the number. And so you'll get all the links to the Indiegogo and the websites and all that kind of stuff will be there. So that's the best place to find me.
All right. Well, Kyle, we appreciate it, my friend. And please go ahead, head over right now to Indiegogo. Please give this project a lot of money because this thing is going to be amazing. I'm telling you folks right now, it's going to be amazing. So go out there. Do it often. All right. Kyle, we appreciate it, man.
Thank you for having me on, man. You're awesome as always.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
You love midnight movies, don't you? But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live, 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
alcoholic friends. Your 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 alcoholic friends.
From HerCape.com, American Horror Story Season 8 looks to the future. With the show's setting revealed, it's time to get really excited about Season 8 of American Horror Story. It's time to go to the future, and we can't wait. Ryan Murphy revealed that the American Horror Story franchise is taking a trip to the future for the show's 8th season, and with this news comes a world of possibilities. Murphy made the revelation at the Television Critics Association press tour in early January. The future is where Murphy looks to go with Season 8. Quote, "All I can say about it is I want to go to the future. Still topical, but the future, which I've never done," end quote. Murphy ruled out a space story, which means we probably won't see the return of the aliens that plague Season 2's asylum. However, talk of a story set in the near future is exciting. Could it be that this future is one set years from the end of Season 7's cult, in which Sarah Paulson's Allie Mayfair Richards defeats Kai Anderson once and for all and wins her election? In recent years, Murphy has remained tight-lipped about the theme of the anthology horror series, with Season 6 Roanoke remaining a secret until the moment it premiered, given the twists and turns of Roanoke's theme was still a secret through the first 6 episodes, depending on who you talk to. Season 7's theme, Cult, was revealed at San Diego Comic-Con in July 2017, even though Murphy had hinted earlier in the year that Season 7 would revolve around the 2016 presidential election. The upside to revealing the theme early is that the fans are able to start speculating about what the show will actually be about. It's almost impossible to get close to what the show is about because Murphy's stories are so twisted you can't predict what's coming. And that's why it's just as bad to reveal the theme early on. Fan speculation can lead to overblown expectations and disappointment. A story set in the future is thrilling because there's literally no limit to what Murphy might come up with. Knowing Murphy, he has a twisted tale up his sleeve, and we can only imagine where his imagination will take the audience this time. The next piece of Season 8 puzzle is casting. We can safely assume that Sarah Paulson and Evan Peters will be back, though nothing has been confirmed as of yet. That'll be interesting to know. Something of the future, but not a space one. Mind boggles. And you're listening to EMZT Radio. EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For you, the listeners of EMZT Radio Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. That's audibletrial.com/EMZT.
How about the big news this week is that Shudder is interested in bringing back our childhood. That's right, kids. You heard it straight from the horse's mouth, Joe Bob Briggs, this week. That, yes, Shudder says they're interested in reviving Monster Vision. Everybody remembers Monster Vision. Come on, you're a teenager. If you're my age, you were a teenager. It was late Saturday night. You were either watching USA Up All Night or you were watching TNT's Monster Vision, and Monster Vision was a whole hell of a lot more fun, especially for us horror fans. Joe Bob Briggs started hosting in 1995, I should say, and that's when the show, you know, became what it became. It was always a decent show before then, but then it just became something amazing for horror fans. But now Briggs is going to go back to the hosting duties, maybe? Well, there is a chance that Shudder brings it back. But you have got to get on Joe Bob Briggs's Twitter feed and email joebob@joebobbriggs.com and give the testimonials so that way Shudder knows we mean business. This show needs to be brought back. Come on, people. It's Monster Vision, for crying out loud. It's our teenage years. Come back to life. Got a chance here. Come on. Let's relive our childhood, shall we? It's Joe Bob at joebobbriggs.com if you want to send your email. Up this week's edition of EMZT Radio. Want to thank Kyle Hester one more time for coming in and telling us about Preacher 6. You can head on over to Preacher6.com. You can go over to Indiegogo, look it up, and it'll be in the show notes, so definitely give and give often. Next week, Hilton Ariel Ruiz will be back talking his projects. We'll check in with him, see what's going on there, and a whole bunch of other things. Now, you're probably wondering what's going on with the radio station. Why has it been off the air for the past week? Well, it's because we ran out of money. We are not rich people doing this, I should point out. We don't get a chance to say this very often. But, you know, again, we ran out of money earlier this week with our Live 365 stream. And unfortunately, that means it's got to be shut down. But just for a couple of weeks until, you know, we get paid again. Or at least I get paid again. And, you know, it'll be back up and running here about the first of the month. So don't worry about anything. You can definitely, once it's back up, you can check out all the things we've got, especially the Potter and Family Potter podcast block that is right there on Sunday afternoons. So check us out when we're back on there. Of course, you can help out with the show and donate to make sure that things like this don't happen again. Head on over to our Patreon or Maker Support. $10 a month will get you the early access to all of our interviews, a best of show, a slew of other things. I'm telling you, even a dollar a month will get a thank you everywhere you go. But for Bane, I am MJ. We are out of here. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
Bad rhyme. Bad rhyme.